Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Praise the Lord. I just want to express my appreciation. I don't have the capability of blessing you like God does, but I can thank you for those who are being consistent in your giving so that the needs are met. I know that you all have your lives and are moving on, and you have bills to pay and things to repair and fix on your house and car and family things and all of that. So you understand the needs. How many understand that there are financial needs that go along with everything anymore? Yeah. Well, the church is the same way. And I just say thank you to those who are being consistent and faithful in your giving. Last month, the month of July, was the, we actually had the smallest amount of income that I have seen in 11 years. But the needs were met. God is good. Amen? I said, God is good. Amen? If you haven't learned yet, I was trying to get this truth across to one of my kids. When we are faithful to the Lord, we can anticipate and expect His blessings. He told us in His word, given it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom? It's a promise, folks. It's not one that Bill McKee made. It's one that God made, and it's one that He proves out over and over again as we are faithful. So I can say thank you to you, but I leave the blessings in the hands of the Lord. Amen. I do want to mention to you, we have 14, 15 families signed up so far for the yard sale. There's still plenty of room. The whole parking lot is going to be open. We're going to, some have asked this question, we're going to provide 1 8-foot table for each person that signed up. If you want more than that, you can bring your own. Put it on the ground or whatever like that, but we will provide one table out there. This is September the 18th September the 18th. If there's rain on that day, then it moves to the 25th. Okay, I just want to make sure I get all the dates correct. If you'd like to be a part, sign up at the information booth back there, and we're going to look forward to a great day. I don't know if you've driven happened to drive by here yesterday, but from, one or 11 o'clock yesterday morning until 8 o'clock last night, we had cars all through this parking lot. We're going to get benefit out of COVID one way or another. They were testing and giving shots back here in the back at our shelter house back there in the back, and cars were lined up and curving all through the parking lot. So, you know, I'm praying for ways for people in Bedford and this county to find us. Because, you see, I believe that when struggles come and difficulties come into their life and they're looking for some place, somebody to give them hope, that they'll know right where we're at. And then the Holy Spirit can bring them back to remembrance and say, you know, I'm going to go try that church where I got a COVID shot. I'm going to try that church where I went to the yard sale. It's important. Amen. I don't know. Do you folk want to see people get saved? Anybody? Know somebody that's lost and hurting and needs to know Jesus? I sure do. So I'm praying for them. So I want to do some other things to help them to be able to find their way in a very dark and difficult moment. Amen. Our subject matter, and we're picking back up here, to talk about salvation. I know that nearly every service, as we come to the conclusion of the message, we give an opportunity for people to come to know Christ. And really, no matter what the subject is, we always want to try and give that moment of decision for everyone. But the reality is that salvation in the Word of God is a dominant and prevailing theme from the beginning of this book to the very end. And there are different parts of the salvation experience, and that is what we're trying to break down here. Now, I realize that what they used to call stem winder, you know, where you really got with it and shouted and carried on and everything. And sometimes those are very moving emotionally. But if you will allow the Word of God, and I have a lot of scripture for you as we move through this message, if you'll allow the Word of God to wash over your life, maybe take a note or two if you're of that nature. But this can add to your understanding of the salvation experience. Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That goes to all of us. It's important that the Word of God be in our minds and in our hearts. And understanding the truth of salvation belongs to us. How many of you in here this morning are depending upon salvation? That is, that you realize that in order to get to heaven, join your loved ones, see Jesus, you need to be saved. You know, we throw around terms like saved. Saved is saved from sin, yes. But it is saved to righteousness. Hallelujah. We began this journey talking about creation, and I'm not going to back up and teach it all, but I just want to keep the frame together for you. We talked about God the Father and a revelation of the Father, and that he is not this God off in the never, never places and doesn't care about us, but it's for God so loved the world. The Father loves us. He dispatched Jesus. And then we talked about God the Son, Jesus, his virgin birth, his sinless life, his substitutionary death, his resurrection, and his ascension. These are part of your and my salvation. You see, folk, we need to know this so we can give it away. I've often thought that perhaps it would be beneficial to do as we do and have done in school. And that is that we have tests. You know, at the end of a session, pass out a piece of paper that had 20 questions on it. Let us take a test. Probably could empty the place if we did that. Let me tell you something. Just because we don't pass out a piece of paper with 20 questions on it doesn't mean there's not a test. Because the test comes the next time that you have the opportunity to give witness concerning the powerful work of salvation. It is in that moment that you and I are tested as to whether we paid any attention, whether this was important to us, whether we desired to actually work this out. Oh, yeah, I know, I'm saved. Yes, I know, I prayed at an altar. Yeah, you need to do that too. That's not going to be enough. You need to be able to explain to them that God, the Father, loves them so much that he sent the Son, Jesus, into the world to die for their sins. The part that we are going to begin talking about today, and we'll get as far as we get, we'll pick it back up the next time, leads us now to those things that we as men do to accept the free gift that God has provided. He has done his part in salvation. It is a finished work. We do not need for Jesus to come down every single time someone wants to accept him and die again on the cross. What he did for all and for all time. Then there is an action on the part of each individual in accepting this free gift. And that's where we pick up our journey this morning. It's under this term confess or confession. We will, not all this morning, but we will look at confession of sin, confession of surrender, confession of Christ as Savior, and the confession of Christ as Lord or ruler of our lives. This morning, if time permits, we're going to look at the first two. The word in the original language that is used for confess or confession means to, well, there are two words. One means to speak the same thing, to declare or admit. And the other one means to admit openly or confess forth. It is actually a public acknowledgement or confession of sins. A public acknowledgement or confession of sins. People will often ask the question, why do you ask people to lift a hand? Or why do you ask them to come to an altar? Because the Word of God admonishes us to acknowledge openly that there is sin in our lives. It might begin here at an altar, but it is also confirmed up there in the baptismal tank as we bury them along with Christ and raise them up to new life. It is an open confession of the transformed life. Again, how many have been saved and baptized? Yeah. You know what? That should be important enough to you that you lifted a hand. You know, this we only do this for an hour. I don't see most of you throughout any other time in the week. Feel free to participate while we're here. No, honestly. The enemy is trying to steal, to kill, and destroy. We have an opportunity of just a very few moments to lock in to what the Lord wants to do. Engage. I'm going to ask you to stand. My text this morning is found in James chapter 5, verse number 16. You'll love this. This is great. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Abraham Lincoln said, "It is the duty of nations as well as men to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon." Back in the 1850s, President Lincoln spoke those words, and they're still true today. Amen? I'm going to ask you to do something. This may be the most important thing that you do this whole day. Or maybe the whole most important thing that you do all week. I'd like for you to find somebody in this room. Can be your mate, can be another man, another woman. But I'd like for you to take just a moment. Now, don't give them the whole list of all your sins and your faults and things, okay? So we don't have enough time for that. But I would like for you to confess a fault to someone. Now, you can't stand there and tell me that this is not biblical. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. So I would like you to turn and just confess one. I see some of you smiling. This isn't an impossible thing. Just do the confessing part, and then we're going to pray together for one another. Come on. Did anybody run into a perfect person? All right, come on now. I want you to pray. Let's pray together over the other person's weakness, struggle, fault, sin in their life. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that you have made a provision for our forgiveness, but also for the strengthening of our lives. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have promised to come in and to guide us into all truth, to reveal in us the transgressions of our lives, and to guide us to the saving knowledge of Jesus. So you have provided everything we need this morning to deal with the fault, with the sin in our lives. And we pray right now for one another. We pray for victory. We pray for freedom. We pray, God, that there would be a loosening of the spirit that is in bondage. And that you would be glorified in every life through the power of your spirit and the blood of Jesus. We ask it now in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Now you can leave here today and tell people you not only heard the word, but you lived the word. Amen. A little boy said to his mom, he said, "Look, there's a bear in our backyard." His mother looked outside and she said, "That's not a bear, it's Joe Smith's dog. Now go to your room and ask God to forgive you for telling a lie." So the boy went upstairs. Later he came back down the stairs. His mother said, "Did you ask God to forgive you for telling the lie?" Little fellow said, "Yes." And God said the first time that he saw Joe Smith's dog, it looked like a bear to him. Boy, don't we have ways of self-justifying? Huh? My faults are not bad as your fault. Huh? Confession of sin. It's so incredibly difficult and yet so incredibly liberating. Just even the confession of sin. The law reveals sin to us. We wouldn't know what sin was without the law, though we are not under the law, we're under grace. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law, but rather through the law we became conscious of sin. So there is a measure that the law of God stands up, and our lives then are evaluated, if you will. It's a mirror for us to see our lives. Isn't it interesting that even unregenerate individuals, those who don't know Christ, those who do not know the word, but the law of God prevails, that they know that murder is wrong. They know that lying is wrong. Now, they may lie so much that they become, you know, it becomes easy for them and they overlook it. But yet at the same time, there is something down inside each and every person that knows lying and stealing and murder and adultery and all of these things, that they're wrong. They may not call it sin, but they know that it is wrong. They may engage in it because it is wrong, but they still know that it is wrong. That is because the prevailing law of God has stood and stands as a standard. The conscience of man reveals the sin. Romans 2:14. Indeed, when the Gentiles who have not the law do by nature the things required by the law, they are a law for themselves. Even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written in their heart or on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. In other words, they know. You can go out to any group of individuals that are totally unchurched, have no background whatsoever in the Word, and ask them, tell me what is wrong, what is sin, what is bad? And they'll have a list. And if you ask several, many of those lists will come together. It may even surprise you because you'll think, well, this is an unregenerate person. This isn't a person who has read the Word of God. How do they know those things? It is because the prevailing nature of the law of God is over mankind. Once it is given, once it is out there, and it prevails within society, there is a knowledge, if you will, of sin. Now, sometimes we engage in those things that we know to be wrong with such frequency that they become commonplace in our lives. That is also then where the Holy Spirit is such a helper in us, because we come into the presence of the Holy Spirit and that Spirit convicts, reveals then that sin, that measure against the law and the holiness of God. Jeremiah 3:13 says, only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods under every spreading tree and have not obeyed me, declared the Lord. God requires a confession of sin. It is against God and God alone that we have sinned. Psalm 51. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justify when you judge. That revelation, my goodness, there's a moment in, I believe, every single life where there becomes an awareness of sin. What we do with it in that moment really is the distinguishing factor. You can be sitting in a service just like this and thinking about other things, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, God's presence, moves in and convicts. That is, puts the measure of our life against the measure of God's holiness and of God's law. And we find ourselves wanting, or without, or sinful. How many know that moment? Have you experienced that moment? You know, even as a believer, sometimes that same Holy Spirit comes and convicts. There may be something in our lives that up until that point in time seemed to be acceptable. We just went on with our life and we conducted ourselves, and then all of a sudden we're sitting in the presence of the Lord, or maybe walking through Walmart, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to deal with our heart and says, you don't need that in your life. You shouldn't have that in your life. It's not pleasing to me. And you may go, whoa, whoa, where'd that come from? Am I thinking that? Am I just thinking that? That is the Spirit of God speaking of the holiness of God, the law of God,
to our lives. And there is an opportunity in that moment. What are you going to do with it? God has spoken and said, this thing that you have in your life is not pleasing. It is not going to cause you to prosper. It's not going to cause you to be blessed. You recognize it in that moment, but what are you going to do with it? You see, what's in between that chasm that exists between God's holiness and our sinfulness is that confession where we openly and verbally, is beneficial, confess that sin to God. You say, well, he's already told me it was sin. Yeah, with the mind, but there is an acknowledgement with the mouth, and we'll talk more about this later. There is an acknowledgement with the mouth that says, God, I have sinned. And I've talked to you about this many times, but not speaking in generalities, but get specific. Now, that's not for God's benefit, because he knows. It's for your and my benefit, that when the Holy Spirit convicts us of a sin, that we verbalize that, we confess that back to the Lord. That is saying, I hear you, Holy Spirit, and I acknowledge that this is sin in my life, and we need to do something about it. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Mm. So see, this isn't just Pastor Bill up here wanting you to openly confess your sins. It's not for my benefit. It is for the prosperity of your life, for the blessing of your life. When the Holy Spirit reveals that there is a sin, a transgression in your life, that is his love, that is his grace, exposing the difference between you and a holy God, that's when you and I have the opportunity to step in and acknowledge and confess that sin. If the Holy Spirit says you're a cheat, huh? You know, you doctored up that vehicle so that they couldn't hear all the knocks and the grinds and the stuff that was going on in it. And you put that heavyweight oil and you do all the little tricks that you can think of. And you put the for sale sign on it and the guy rolls up and looks at it and says, well, you know, honestly, what's the condition of this car? And you said, runs like a top. Sorry to be selling it. And he gives you your price, signs on the dotted line, and you go, wow, P.T. Barnum was right. There's a sucker every minute. Huh? How many know? Is that the attitude of a Christian? Say, well, yeah, you want to get as much out of it as you can possibly get. And if you tell them all the secrets, you won't get everything. Someplace in that activity, the Holy Spirit will whisper in your heart and in your mind, you're cheating that person. That's not the character that I desire in your life. Hello? And see, what you do in the next moment is whether you find the liberty and the prosperity and the blessings of the Lord, or you walk it out in your flesh. And let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit reveals that you have cheated someone, if you don't make it right, that money will burn a hole in your pocket and in your heart. I'll tell them myself. I did a little storage thing over here. And I bought some hangers to put shelves on. And I needed enough of them, I just got the box. So when I walked up there and put at the cash register, the lady goes, what are there, seven in there? I said, seven. She rang up seven of those things. And I got back here to the church and got ready to put them up. And when I counted them out, there were nine. Dun, da, dun, dun. I thought, well, you know, the flesh in me, she had the opportunity to count them. But then the Spirit of the Lord says, but she asked you. Huh? See, this doesn't just happen to you. It happens to me. It happens to all of us. And in that moment, it's like, what are you going to do with this? So it ended up, I needed three more. So when I went back to the store, because the Holy Spirit and I had already dealt with this, I laid the three on the counter and I said, charge me for five. And the woman goes, why? I said, well, because I was in here this morning and got charged for seven, but I took nine. She goes, well, I don't know what to do with that. She said, I've been working here a long time. And I said, I don't know anybody that's done that. I said, well, you know, anyway, ring it in. Because, see, that really wasn't about her. It wasn't about Lowe's. It was about me and God. And, see, I want his blessings upon all of my life and everything about this church. See? And if I allow sin to prevail, I cannot expect God's blessings to be upon it. So I asked, Lord, forgive me for not paying closer attention when I was in there and telling that lady that there were seven when there were nine. And then we're going to make it right. So, you know, I want you to understand something. There's no praise for doing what is right. You understand that? You know, I'm not telling you this story this morning so that you go, oh, that was great, Pastor. No, no. It was just simply making right, making it wrong, turn into a right. And confession, both to the Lord and in that situation, I needed to confess it to that lady. I walked out with nine. I paid for seven. So let's get this right. Confession brings the liberty. God has done incredible things for us, folks. Unbelievable things. And he's not done. See, this is the magnificent part of it. He continues to do incredible things. When he speaks into your life to let you know that you have, if you so, broken faith, you have cheated, you have done whatever, okay? Your attitude, your thought, your action, and your Holy Spirit convicts us. We need to realize it is not so, he's not telling us that so we'll feel bad. Now we may feel bad. We feel bad because there's a difference between his holiness and righteousness and what we have just done. Okay? So that's where the pain comes in. But if you will stop and confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So see, that's his process, that he reveals to us the separation that has been thrust between our relationship with him, and we have the opportunity to acknowledge that separation, that sin, and let him bring us back together. Hallelujah. Sermon's done. Holy Spirit's not. Would you bow your heads? I'm pretty certain this morning that when you found your person and you confessed a fault, you probably didn't get into the gritty stuff. I would imagine, though, that even as you were challenged to confess a fault to someone, that beyond what you said to them, the Holy Spirit probably illuminated something else. Maybe something that you just assumed that nobody knew, not even those who are closest and love you. Thoughts, actions, intents. But the Holy Spirit, in that moment, revealed something to you, and you put the stop to it. You said, no, we can't go there. Let's choose one of those kind of vanilla kind of things that I do wrong. I want to invite you this morning to go back to that moment. Go back to what the Holy Spirit prompted you. And right here, right now, before we leave this service, confess that to the Lord. Acknowledge that that is in your life. Acknowledge that it is so secret. You don't want anybody else to know, but you want him to know that you are acknowledging that sin. Father in heaven, I praise you and thank you that you're in this room. I thank you that your holy presence is moving upon us. And even in the opening moments, as we casually would engage our thoughts to confess a fault, a sin to someone else, that our minds, by your Spirit, have gone to the deeper things. Help us, O Lord, to realize that you want us to prosper. Help us to realize that you want us to be blessed. And you are illuminating these things in our lives so that they can be dealt with by your power, by your blood, by your sacrifice, so that we can be free. And may we begin the liberty that you promised as we confess to you the sin of our lives, the sin that your Spirit has illuminated. Right now, Lord, hear the prayers of each and every one in this room as we acknowledge our sin, as we acknowledge before you what your Spirit has already identified. And then we trust your word that you will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're not expecting us to pay the price, but you have already paid the price for the redemption of our life. Help us right now to openly and completely confess the sin and find the liberty that you promised. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Maybe you're in this room and this is the very first time that you've ever heard about confession, forgiveness. You've wondered what that voice was that was within you that was speaking truth, God's truth into you. Don't run from him. Run to him. The Lord Jesus wants to bless you, prosper you. That's his desire. As always, these altars are open as we conclude the service. If you would like somebody to pray with you, maybe you want to ask Jesus into your life and just see him take over completely, we would love to pray with you. If you have a physical need and you would like someone to anoint you with oil, according to James chapter 5, we would love to pray with you and believe for healing. Amen? thank you for being with us in church this morning. I believe that there's some that God's not finished with yet. So feel free to make your way to this altar and spend some time with the Lord. Let Him do in your life a complete work. Amen. How many receive this? Good. Father, let your blessings rest upon us as we leave this house or come to this altar to spend time with you. May your great grace and mercy be over our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you and thank you for spending this hour with us.